Our gospel and sermon lesson this morning is from John chapter 4, verses 5 through 26. You can follow along on the insert in your bulletin. Again, John chapter 4, verses 5 through 26. I read in Jesus' name. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I want to begin today with what Paul Harvey would call the rest of the story. Church tradition teaches us that this woman, this Samaritan woman, was named Photini. Photini means enlightened one. You can hear the photo in there. But anyway, Photini, after this conversation with Jesus, she goes back to her village and she invites the whole village with her to come out and meet this Jesus who, in her words, told me everything that I ever did. And the village comes out and they listen to Jesus and they invite him to stay with them. And he stays there for 2 days. And in the end, many of that village of Sychar believed in Jesus because they got to hear Jesus from his own mouth. Well, anyway, Photini then apparently traveled around and continued to tell people about Jesus. She traveled all the way down through Africa and ended up in Carthage, all the while telling people about Jesus. And apparently she even got to speak to the wicked Emperor Nero's daughter and spoke to her of Christ, and even Nero's daughter became a Christian. However, Photini was martyred by Nero's hand in about AD 66. So that's the rest of the story. But now to look at our text. John likes to do some interesting things, and he's doing something very interesting this week. He wants us to remember what we learned last week about Zacchaeus and look now at this conversation with this woman and see where there are similarities and differences. Last week we saw Nicodemus, a ruler of the Pharisees, come to Jesus in the darkness of night. And Nicodemus was a very respectable man. He was what would be considered today a Supreme Court justice. And yet he came secretly and in the dark to speak to Jesus. And even still at the end of his conversation, it appears that Nicodemus remains, at least for a while, in the dark. Now contrast that with this Samaritan woman. She's not a respectable person at all. She's a Samaritan. Samaritans integrated false worship with other pagan gods into their worship of Yahweh. Secondly, this Samaritan woman was obviously a woman. Rabbis in Jesus' day taught that it was absolutely disrespectful for a man to talk with a woman in public, even his own wife, because there'd be so much gossiping and rumor going around. Thirdly, this woman was an outcast, a complete and terrible outcast. She comes to the well after all the other women would have been gone. She comes so much later than all of them that there's no one there at the well except for Jesus. She was probably tired of hearing all the chit-chat about how her and her five husbands and her current live-in boyfriend were so scandalous. She was just done with hearing all of it. All the whispers needed to go away. And so she comes to the well around noon. She comes in the heat of the day. And as she comes around the corner, she sees Jesus sitting literally on the well, wearied and dusty and tired. "Give me a drink," Jesus says to her. The woman is surprised that Jesus, a Jewish man, would even talk to her, because Samaritans and Jews didn't have a real good history. They were kind of like the Hatfields and McCoys. They had a good feud going on. The Jews in B.C. 128 destroyed the temple that the Samaritans had built on Mount Gerizim. That's the mountain that the woman talks about a little bit later on. And a few years before the birth of Christ, the Samaritans retaliated. They went into Jerusalem just before Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and they sacked the city, and they threw the corpses of the dead into the temple area so that the Jews couldn't celebrate the Day of Atonement. The relationship, the interaction between the Jews and Samaritans was pretty icky and morbid. And yet Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, "Give me a drink." But Jesus is more interested in what he has to give to this woman and wants to give her this living water. He wants that to happen more than he really wants himself to get a little cup of water. Jesus has what this woman needs, and he uses a need that he has to spark up a conversation with this woman so that she can realize what it is that she really needs. And so Jesus says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who was speaking to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." If she knew the gift of God, she wouldn't be seeking fulfillment in all of these different men, man after man after man. If she knew the gift of God, she wouldn't care that her neighbors were gossiping about her and that they all thought that she was a loser. If she knew the gift of God, nothing in the whole world would matter except for Jesus, who freely gives everything. John wants us to see this whole text, this whole conversation, as a courtship scene. He's talked about marriage repeatedly through his gospel up to this point, and even this text reminds us of a courtship scene. Now, Jesus isn't seeking to actually marry this woman in the way that we think of marriage. But Jesus wants this woman to believe in him as the Messiah. And if she does, she will become part of the church, which is the bride of Christ. We think sometimes that our marriages are a good illustration for how Jesus is towards us when it's the exact opposite. Jesus' undying faithfulness, His self-giving love is what our marriages should look like. So flip that table around if it's mixed up in your mind. And so sitting there on Jacob's well is Jesus, one who, yes, is greater than Jacob. And Jacob had first seen his wife Rachel at a well. And when he looked at her and saw her beauty, he broke down and wept. Jesus sees this woman with all of her sins and all of her faults and all of her failures, and he wants her to believe in him as the Messiah. Jacob ended up having to work 14 years before he could finally marry his beloved Rachel. But Jesus, the one greater than Jacob, worked even harder. He bore this Samaritan woman's sins all the way to the cross. In fact, he bore the sins of the entire world. He bore your sins all the way to the cross, where he suffered and bled and died for them. You see, you are more adulterous than this Samaritan woman. In fact, you have whored yourself to all sorts of sins, thinking that in them you will find some fulfillment, that you'll find some happiness. And you've been a slut seeking for a husband in all of the wrong places. And yet, there is Jesus who is always seeking to be your husband. He doesn't care, it doesn't matter how many other suitors you've tried to find. He is always there, loyal and faithful to you. He has pledged his fidelity and his faithfulness to you. He wants you to drink from the well of living water, the well that he dug with his own hands. And even though you are a sinner in the eyes of Christ, you are the bride that he most desires. Jesus invites you to dine at his table and to drink from his cup. And in his eyes, you are the fairest of them all, because he has kissed you with grace and he has healed your scars. He has enlivened your eyes and he has transformed you from a beast of sin, into a beauty clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.